riding the Gushin Geisha and thought you were seeing kabuki dancers in the next door neighbor's yard? It turned out to be clowns they hired for their daughter's birthday.
It's not the same thing. And they look like kabukis without my glasses.
Well, if the script is due tomorrow, the only thing you can do is finish it. And don't worry about what Paul said. It's not a comedy, and you know it. Some lines may sound comical in the hands of a bad actor, but a great actor like Reginald Shaw, he could make a line like that ring true.
Ha-ha! Do you think that measly force, with its measly guns, will keep the Glenda Rose out of the harbor? I laugh in your face. Ha-ha! Ha-ha-ha!
So don't worry about it. I'm sure it will turn out just fine and be another big hit for the studio.
So, you don't think it's funny?
Of course not.
What were you just laughing at?
Oh, I wasn't laughing. It was something in the phone line. Anyway, I gotta get going. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. We've got to finish this off. And they are so pirates, Bentley in the ocean. Ship exterior. Captain Tortuga paces the deck under a dark and brooding sky. He turns to his first mate, Hale, and says,
"Look alive, Mr. Hale. You're as slow as a snail on Sunday. What happened to you? You used to be as fast as lightning."
"Aye, that was before I lost both my legs at the Battle of Treasure Island."
"Aye, you should have had luck of Long John Silver. He only lost one leg."
"And he got a book deal out of it, too."
"Oh, wait, what am I doing? This isn't a comedy, despite what the kid said. All right, we try again."
"Avast there, matey. Hoist the mainsail and shiver the timbers. Fire a shot and let them know that Captain Tortuga has arrived. Nothing like a 12-pounder to start off the day with a bang."
"Captain Tortuga, Captain Tortuga."
"Aye, that's my name. You bubbling barnacle, what do you want?"
"Captain, I've just returned from the town with two prisoners, just like you ordered."
"Avast there. Good, good. Aye, bring him here, you scurvy chicken."
"Bring the prisoners to the captain." "Here they be, captain."
"Goggle me eyes, a fair beauty."
"I demand you release me at once."
"And I ask you."
"This is Tuesday, and I don't swab the decks on Tuesdays, so don't get any ideas."
"Arr!"
"What does arr mean?"
"That's pirate for shut up."
"You have no right to keep me here."
"And the same with me."
"I have every right, for I am Captain Tortuga."
"Oh, did they name you after the town?"
"Tortuga Town. Cute place, if you don't mind cutthroats."
"I am not named after the town. I was born Thomas Tortuga."
"Tommy Tortuga. Oh, very intimidating."
"It will be when I level your town with silver broadsides from my cannon."
Captain."
"What?"
"We're out of cannonballs."
"Avast there! How can that be?"
You know how it is. It's been a busy month on the Spanish Main. Lots of looting and shooting."
"Arr!"
"Okay, I'll shut up."
"Yoo-hoo there! Yoo-hoo! You on the pirate ship!"
"What? What was that?"
"Ahoy below! Boat coming alongside!"
"What kind of boat?"
"The kind that floats."
"It's the governor of the island. He's coming to rescue me."
"Us?"
"Hello. Oh, you must be the captain. I can tell by the big feather in your cap and those smashing boots."
I be Captain Tortuga."
"Oh, Captain Tortuga."
"You've heard of me?"
"Not you directly, but I've heard of the town of Tortuga. Oh, but you'll do."
"What do you want, you blubbering sea lion?"
"Well, I came to rescue the lovely Lady Isabel."
"Who, huh?"
"No, me."
"Pinch me, I must be dreaming." "Ow!"
"You said to pinch you."
"Yes, but I didn't mean it."
"Oh, Governor, it was very gallant of you to attempt to rescue me."
"And me."
"But it is of no use. I must surrender myself to the fate of these pirates and their wild and wicked ways."
"No."
"No?"
"That's what I said to me. I mean Captain Tortuga."
"Then how do you propose to stop me from sailing away with these fair maiden?"
and me.
And her.
Easy. Why, at this very minute, a British man of war is sailing around the corner over there to sink you, silly.
I see no ship.
Well, it's a very tall corner.
Well, look out!
Ahoy below!
Do you see anything?
Nope, nothing.
Good.
Except an 80-gun man of war racing towards us under full sail.
What? I just look at myself and didn't see anything.
You're looking at the other corner.
I see it now, Captain. It's the HMS Ignominious.
Captain Trevor Wessex. This time I shall blast him out of the water without so much as a bio leave.
We still have that little cannonball problem, Captain.
Forgot about that.
You seem to be in quite a pickle, Tortuga. I think you better surrender.
Another son from you, Governor, and I shall use you as a cannonball and send you over to them.
Oh, that would be loud.
There is no choice. I must sail away to exotic locations with this swashbuckling buccaneer and do his bidding till the end of my days, or at least until my youth and vitality turns a corner.
Aye, perhaps that's the best way. We'll make a run for it.
But he has us bottled up in the harbor. See?
Blast it all. We'll shoot a way out.
You have no cannonballs.
Hang me, I keep forgetting.
The only way out is to surrender.
I'll sink before I... Wait, I have an idea.
What?
Aye, Bigsby.
Aye, Captain.
Roll up the white flag.
What?
But why?
Because when the Captain Trevor Wessex comes aboard, I shall hold him for ransom and make a ship go away.
It will never work.
Ahoy there.
It's Captain Wessex, Captain. He's coming aboard.
Good. Now the rest of you keep quiet and not say a word.
What if we do say a word?
Then I shall kill you.
Don't get huffy. I was just curious.
Ah, Captain Tortuga.
You remember me, Captain Wessex.
It was easy. I just think of the town, and there you are.
I am not named out of the town.
In either case, you are to release this lady at once.
And me.
And that.
Ha-ha, I laugh in your face. Do you think that you, a mere naval officer, can command me? The most bloodthirsty pirate on the seven seas.
We've only sailed on three of them.
Silence. Well, do you?
It is my intention to take this lady... Ladies. Back to the HMS Ignominious. Or blast you out of the water. The choice is yours.
If we had cannonballs, we would fight you.
Bigsby, don't help.
Aha. You have no cannonballs. You cannot fight my ship. Well, it looks like the worm has turned.
Worm? What worm? Where? I hate worms.
True, I have no means to fight your ship, but I still have my honor. I shall fight you for them.
Very well. You do know I am considered the world's best swordsman.
Ha! So am I.
Only on two seas.
How about you? Ha!
Maybe I can end it on a sword fight. Not bad idea. They fight as the picture begins to pull back to an overhead shot as we see the British warship firmly in place. We know the outcome of the duel is meaningless. Captain Tortuga fights on against the odds as we fade to black. The end.
This has been Jerry and the Pirates, starring Jerry Robbins, co-starring Rob Cattell as Paul, Connor Doherty as Richie, and Ricky McDonald as Preston. With Diane Capon as Tracy, Lincoln Clark as Mr. Cranker, Marsha Friedman as Mrs. Thorne, and J.T. Turner as Mayor Quigley and Hale. Tonight's show was written and directed by Jerry Robbins. It was produced by Byron Lee, and the music was by Jeffrey Gage. Mark Vanderberg was the executive producer. This is Chris Snyder speaking. Jerry and the Pirates. Jerry and the Pirates, starring Jerry Robbins. co-starring Rob Cattell, Connor Doherty, and Ricky McDonald. Summer is over at the home of Jerry Davenport on Hesperus Hill in the lovely coastal town of Marblehead, Massachusetts. In fact, summer is over everywhere. Not just on Hesperus Hill, it's September and Jerry's nephews are ready for their first day of school in their new town. Jerry, who is a screenwriter, is working on a new script as the housekeeper, Belva Thorne, is clearing the breakfast table. Let's listen.
What time do I get the bus?
8:10.
What time do Richie and me get the bus?
7:05.
I think I'll take Preston's bus. I can get another hour of sleep.
Yeah, but you'll be 2 grades behind.
It'll be worth the wait.
Oh, an hour doesn't make that much difference in the long run.
I know. It's the short one that gets you.
Hey, look on the bright side. You'll get home earlier. 2:30.
Only for the first couple of days.
No, the whole year.
Yeah, but he'll be getting detention every day after the honeymoon period is over.
Yep, I give him till Wednesday.
Stop it, that's not true. Don't you believe it, Uncle Jerry.
I won't.
I should make it till at least Friday.
Think positive, Richie. This is a new town, a new school, new teachers.
Same old Richie.
Well, this year I got a plan.
What kind of plan?
I'm going to play a musical instrument.
Huh?
Yeah, remember we went to disorientation the other day?
Yeah.
Well, the principal said that they're desperate for kids to join the marching band. So, I'll join the band, I'll be a valuable asset, and they won't give me detention because they will need my musical talents.
What musical talents?
And even if you had musical talents, which you don't, you will still get detention. They'll make you miss band practice.
And your musical career will be over, and all our ears will be saved.
They won't be able to take me out of band practice. Only one other kid plays a trombone. They'll have to let me go to practice. And marching in the band and playing trombone is a lot better than sitting in a classroom watching the clock tick by.
I didn't know you played the trombone.
I don't. Never touched one in my life.
He plays a mean kazoo, though.
Richie, learning to play an instrument takes years of practice.
I don't have years. I only have till next Monday.
First, you have to learn how to play it. Then you have to audition for the band. They don't just let you in, you know.
Yeah, especially after they hear your... What was it again? Musical talent.
Thanks for your support.
We support you, Richie.
Sure we do. We just don't think you can do it.
What a glorious day.
It is.
Now, if I can only get you off of Honeydew Hill and back to L.A.
Hesperus Hill. And there's no way I'm moving back to L.A. I can write just as good a script here.
Beg to differ.
What? Why?
The studio thinks your scripts are getting to Little House on the Prairie-ish. Or should I say, Little House on the Hesperus-ish.
That's not true.
Okay, the Waltons, then.
What are you talking about?
Captain Tortuga, which is shooting as we speak on stage 15.
Captain Tortuga is a thrilling pirate adventure. It's nothing like the Waltons.
Want to bet?
Good night, Cap'n.
Good night, Monk.
Good night, Cap'n.
Good night, Tinks.
Good night, Cap'n.
Good night, Blinks.
Good night, Cap'n.
Good night, Jim Bob.
Good night, Captain.
Well, maybe it was a little like the Waltons. Anyway, I want to talk with you about this new project.
What's there to talk about? You write them, they film them.
Yeah, but do you think I should write another Western? Apache Maiden from Chicago was not box office.
Yes, you can write a Western. And a good one. It's the same as Captain Tortuga, but instead of swords, you used Colt 44s. Got a title yet?
I'm thinking of something with a river in the title.
A river? Out west?
Yeah. You know any?
Yellowstone River.
No, too long.
Yes, you're right. It winds for miles and miles.
Not the length of the title. Too many letters in Yellowstone.
We do have wide screens, you know. It'll fit.
No Yellowstone River.
Tongue River.
No, that's disgusting.
It's a real river, you know.
Yeah, I know, but can you imagine John Wayne in a movie like that? Listen, Cranker, and listen tight. I'm gonna meet the wagon train at the Tongue River on time or die trying.
I got it. This is the money title.
What?
Bighorn River. Red River.
That's been done. That's the river John Wayne eventually picked.
That's right. Well, I think we're out of rivers.
I'm afraid so. Well, I'll think of something.
Yes, you will. After all, you're the writer. But remember, Whatever you write, there has to be a character named Doc in it.
Why?
It's an unwritten law of the Western motion picture. Every Western has a Doc in it.
I'll think about it.
You can model him after me. People in Hollywood have often told me I would have made a great Western character.
Just like Rin Tin Tin.
I don't have to stand here and listen to this abuse.
Was there a reason for your visit?
Yes. I just wanted to tell you that I had the DVD deal for Attack of the Killer Mice here for you to look over.
It was just in theaters last month.
Yes, and we're lucky that they think it might do some business on video. It sure didn't do anything in the theaters.
I wrote that one under protest. Stupid idea for a movie, radioactive mice.
Read it over, sign it, and get it back to me.
I don't want to read it. Too many pages. Have you read it through?
Absolutely.
Is it a good deal?
Good enough for Killer Mice.
Give me a pen.
Thank you.
Where are you off to now?
I'm jetting off to New York to negotiate a miniseries for you.
Television? I write movies. Television's a step down.
If you could step down for Killer Mice, you can step down for TV. It's worth a ton of money, and you will love it. It's a wonderful story. Sure to be a classic.
What is it?
No idea. They haven't told me yet.
Goodbye, Cranker.
Goodbye. Now that the urchins are in school, you should have a nice, quiet time of it around here.
Yeah. Sounds like Richie got his trombone.
I see you got your trombone, Richie.
Richie, you can hear that thing halfway down the hill.
You have to shout.
What?
I said you have to shout.
Richie, why are you torturing us like this?
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
I hear music.
Uncle Jerry, make him stop before we all die of earache!
Richie?
Oh, hi, Uncle Jerry. Check out the new trombone. Pretty slick, eh?
Yeah, it looks great.
And I got to learn this song by the end of the week.
I still hear the music!
Just give it a minute, Preston. You'll be fine.
What did you say?
I said you'll be fine.
Wine? No, I'm too young for wine. But I could go for a ginger ale.
I didn't even see you guys were here. I must have been concentrating on my music.
Oh, is that what it was?
Don't I sound great? I've only been playing for 3 hours.
Sounded like 3 minutes.
Are you kidding? I'm playing real notes here. You can actually make out the melody. For only playing 3 hours, that's an accomplishment. Imagine how great I'll sound after 3 more hours.
You're planning on playing that thing for 3 more hours?
Practice makes perfect.
There's enough practice in the world that will ever make that thing sound perfect.
You're just jealous because I'm gifted.
Yeah, that must be the reason, Richie.
What did he say?
He said he's gifted.
Lifted?
Gifted! Gifted!
Shifted!
What's wrong with Preston?
I think he's lost his hearing. He was in here longer than the rest of us.
Preston, can you hear what I'm saying? Preston? Preston!
Did someone say something?
Well, if you'll excuse me, I have to get back to my music. See you at dinner.
Oh, no! Help! Paul! Get me out of here!
Jerry and the Pirates will return after this important message.
And now, back to Jerry and the Pirates.
Uh-huh.
Richie, give it a rest. You're driving me crazy. I can't rest. I have to learn this inside out and backwards in 1 week. I have to sound like I know what I'm doing.
You haven't got any better in 5 days. What makes you think you'll get better in another week?
Oh, no. Richie, that thing sounds like an off-pitched moose. Can't you stop?
No.
You're driving me crazy. Crazy, I tell you.
Preston, hand me your sweater.
Why?
Just do it.
Here.
What do you do that for?
So we can eat in peace. If you remove that sweater, you'll regret it.
Is that a threat?
You bet it is. My brain is like scrambled eggs from that racket.
All right, I'll stop for breakfast.
Hey, how can Mrs. Thorne keep humming and smiling with all that noise?
I don't know. Mrs. Thorne? Mrs. Thorne?
Yo, Mrs. Thorne!
Look at her ears.
They're capped.
No, they're not capped. She has earplugs on.
What? She's cheating. She should have to suffer with the rest of us.
Good morning.
Uncle Jerry, make Mrs. Thorne take her earplugs out. It's not fair.
You know how you are making me feel?
How?
Like I have no talent. I don't think you appreciate the fact that I can play There's No Place Like Home.
Richie, I got a newsflash for you.
What?
You can't play There's No Place Like Home. If home sounds like that, I'd look for another place.
Did you say something?
Huh?
I didn't hear you.
Oh, no. Uncle Jerry must be losing his hearing, too.
Yes, yes. It's coming along fine. Just fine, thank you.
What? What are you talking about?
It's a good story. In fact, it might be a great story.
It's not making any sense.
I hope he's not one of those pod people.
You've been watching those scary movies again. There's no such thing as a pod person.
Hello in there. They are quickly calling.
On second thought.
I'll get the door. Good morning, Mayor Quigley.
Mayor, I didn't hear you knock.
Why are you wearing earmuffs, Mayor? It's only September.
Oh, just in case that bellowing cow starts mooing again.
What bellowing cow?
Well, you should know. I thought it was a new pet of yours.
You don't have a cow.
Oh, yes, you do. I hear it all the time. It moos to the tune of, "There's no place like home."
That's me, Mayor.
You?
Yes.
Oh, how horrible. You should see a doctor.
It's not me. It's my new trombone.
Oh, a trombone. Funny, I don't remember them sounding that way. Mr. Davenport, I was wondering if I could borrow 2 eggs. I dropped my last 2 this morning when I heard your cow bellowing out the kitchen window. It jolted me, and my eggs went splat. Mr. Davenport?
Yes, Mayor, it's great to see you.
What? Didn't you hear what I just asked?
Wait a minute. Look, Jerry's ears.
He's wearing earplugs, too?
Wait a minute. There. Preston, why are you pointing to your ears and giving me a nasty look?
Why didn't you get us earplugs, too?
I just had these left over from my first marriage. Mayor, why are you wearing earmuffs?
Same reason you're wearing earplugs.
What can I do for you, Mayor?
I wanted to borrow 2 eggs.
Sure. Mrs. Thorne has them out already. Just help yourself.
Oh, why, thank you. Oh, this one looks nice, and...
Oh, why, Mayor, quickly, you startled me.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was just getting...
Just a moment, Mayor. Let me take out my earplugs. There. Need a couple of eggs?
If you don't mind.
So everyone hates my trombone music, is that it?
I told you before, it's not music. It sounds like an elephant with its trunk stuck in a fence.
How would an elephant get his trunk stuck in a fence?
I don't know. But if he did, it would sound like Richie's trombone.
Keep it up. See if I get you free passes when I play Carney Hall.
I think you mean Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
Why don't you play the harp? That's a nice, soothing, quiet instrument. Isn't that a good idea?
They don't use a harp in marching band.
Oh. Well, maybe you could be the guy that leads the band with a big stick. He doesn't play anything, and sticks are very quiet.
Thanks, Mayor. I'll think it over.
Oh, no, Richie. Don't you pay any attention to them. Why, I'm sure that with a little more practice. You'll sound just fine.
Mrs. Thorne, what are you saying?
Just that we all have to learn to adapt to things. That's all.
I could adapt, too, if I had those ironclad earplugs of yours.
Hello there.
Hi, Tracy.
What a rare sight this is.
What?
You, outside.
I go outside.
When? To get the mail, like you're doing now?
Well, it's outside, isn't it? And I think you're exaggerating. I'm outside a lot, just not when I'm in the middle of writing a script.
Which is most of the time.
Well, I have added expenses now. I have 3 boys to put through college, and do you know how much college costs? $40,000, $80,000, and multiply that by 3.
I also know how much you make for a single script, and college money is chump change when we're talking about those numbers.
You're only as good as your last picture. Cranker thinks I'm on borrowed time after Attack of the Killer Mice.
You were able to replace your waterlogged Bentley without a hitch.
Did you drive up here to discuss my flops and finances, or was it just a social call?
I wanted to know if you and the boys would like to join me for a picnic tomorrow.
What's tomorrow, Saturday?
Sunday. Today is Saturday.
Oh, right. Well, sure, I think that could be a good thing.
Wonderful. Seems quiet here.
Well, Paul and Preston went into town to see a movie, and Mrs. Thorne is doing some shopping.
Where's Richie?
On the roof.
What?
See? Up there, on the widow's walk.
What's he doing up there?
Practicing his trombone. You hear that? What's that banging sound?
Mayor Quigley. He's closing all his house windows.
Oh.
So, how long has he been on the rooftop?
Hours.
Hours?
Hours. I hope the shingles hold up.
Oh, maybe he's done.
No. Every 10 minutes he comes up for air. But it's nice to know that he's found something he wants to do. Isn't it?
Yes, I suppose so. Oh, I can't stand it. I'm leaving.
Where are you going?
In the other direction.
Yes?
I'm retiring for the night, Mr. Davenport. Will you be needing anything?
No, thank you, Mrs. Thorne. Good night.
Good night. Happy writing.
Thank you. Who can that be? It's 11 o'clock at night. Mayor Quigley.
Mr. Davenport, I am so sorry for intruding at such a late hour.
Is anything wrong?
Oh, I'll say it is.
Come in.
No, it's terrible. It's a disaster.
What is? What happened?
Have you looked out the window lately?
Not lately. Why?
Oh, it's like pea soup out there. A fog has set in and you can't see your hand before your face.
Really? Let me have a look. Wow. You're right. Sure is bad. I can't even see your house next door.
I know. I couldn't see it either.
I'm not sure I understand. I mean, fog is dangerous, but it's hardly a disaster.
Oh, you don't know the half of it. You know the lighthouse on Rocky Ledge Cliff? The big one from the 1890s that has never lost its light?
Sure, I know it.
It lost its light.
What?
Bang. Just like that. Burned out and shut down. It will take days to get it replaced.
Well, that's not good.
And there are ships out there. And you know our coastline is very dangerous. Why, ships coming in from the briny blue have no idea they are headed for our rocky coast. It's dangerous.
I wish I could help you, Mayor.
I think maybe you can.
This fog sure is thick. Look, we can't even see our house, and we're just in the backyard.
I've never seen a fog this bad. Have you, Uncle Jerry?
Well, there's been a couple of Sunday mornings when... No, I've never seen a fog this bad.
How do we know there are ships out there?
That's a good question. Mayor, How do we know there are ships out there?
Because they toot their whistles. Listen. Judging from the sound, I would say he was 7 miles out.
How will we see the rocks by our coast? We can't even see our house.
You answer the whistle with the blast from the lighthouse horn. But alas, it stopped working with the light.
So how will you warn the ships?
Oh, easy. Richie, are you on the roof yet?
All set.
Let her rip. That should bring the ships in safely.
Sure is better than there's no place like home.
This has been Jerry and the Pirates, starring Jerry Robbins, co-starring Rob Cattell as Paul, Connor Doherty as Richie, and Ricky McDonald as Preston. With Diane Capon as Tracy, Lincoln Clark as Mr. Franker, Marcia Friedman as Mrs. Thorne, and J.T. Turner as Mayor Quigley. Tonight's show was written and directed by Jerry Robbins. It was produced by Byron Lee, and the music was by Jeffrey Gage. Mark Vanderberg was the executive producer. This is Chris Snyder speaking. Jerry and the Pirates. Jerry and the Pirates, starring Jerry Robbins. Co-starring Rob Cattell, Connor Doherty, and Ricky McDonald. Well, the three pirates, I mean nephews, have begun the school year in their new town of Marblehead, Massachusetts. It's now mid-October, and fall is in the air. The leaves are transforming into their autumnal cloaks of orange, red, and purple, and the early signs of chilly air have started to creep into the winds. But that doesn't stop Paul, Richie, and Preston from hatching a new plan up on Hesperus Hill. Let's join them in the backyard.
How much more do we have to dig?
Yeah, more. We don't have enough dirt yet.
I don't understand why we have to dig a hole to build a ramp. Ramps are high, holes are deep.
No kidding, Preston.
But to get a ramp, we need dirt. And where does dirt come from? Holes in the ground, so dig.
I have been digging. I've been digging so long, my hands won't let go of the shovel. Look.
Just let go.
I'm trying to, but my hands won't move.
Well, then you might as well continue shoveling. Richie, I didn't plan on spending my Saturday digging ditches. This is the third one so far. We've been at it for hours. What we have here is a failure to communicate.
I'm communicating just fine. I'm tired of digging ditches. I feel like I'm on a chain gang. All that's missing are the chains.
Don't give him any ideas. He already did the cool hand loop line.
You said you would help me. Why are you complaining about it?
You asked us to build you a ramp. Singular. One. Uno. Un. This is the third one. I don't mind helping you, but this is ridiculous.
Yeah, and look at this hole. It's the deepest one yet.
I can't believe that Jerry actually said you could do this.
That's because he didn't.
What? You mean you didn't ask him if we could build these ramps in the yard?
Well, yes, I did. But I didn't tell him that there were ramps made from dirt. I didn't go into any details.
Richie, Jerry's probably thinking you were talking about using wooden boards or something. You mean you didn't tell him you were going to dig holes all over the place?
It didn't come up in the conversation.
Oh, great. We're dead. How are we going to explain all the holes in the ground?
I got it. We can tell him he has a gopher problem.
It'll have to be a pretty big gopher. This hole is very deep.
That's because this is the biggest ramp. And we need to go even deeper.
Well, count me out of it. I'm not doing any more. We're already in enough trouble as it is.
Yeah, and it's all your fault.
Now, wait a minute. You can't abandon me now when we're so close. Look,
Jerry won't get upset about one hole in the ground, will he? I mean, he might be upset, but he wouldn't be as upset with one as he would with three.
But there are three.
I know, but let's get some branches and shrubs and cover them over. And we'll just take the rest of the dirt we need for the last ramp out of this last hole.
Preston's right. This hole's already deep. I don't know how much deeper we can go with it.
I almost have the last ramp where I need it. We just need a little more.
Well, all right. But let's get these other two holes covered up before we do anything else. We'll go down towards the ocean and get some brush at the bottom of the cliff.
What if Jerry sees the holes before we cover them up?
He's working in on a script, and see? He has the shade in his office drawn down so he won't be distracted.
What if he stops writing and pulls the shade up?
He has at least another hour before he does that. He always writes 5 hours during the day. He's been up there for 4 hours.
We're wasting time. Let's get started.
Come in.
Mr. Davenport, I was wondering what you might like for dinner this evening. I was thinking about beef stew for the autumn chill.
Oh, beef stew sounds just fine with me.
I said I was thinking about it, but I can't make it. I don't have all the ingredients.
Oh, how about give me an Arbuckle or I'll fill you full of lead.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Thorne. I was writing a line for Javis Henry. He's the villain in this Western script I'm working on. Arbuckle is coffee.
Oh, well, how about pasta?
Pasta is fine.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Tracy phoned and said she would be over this evening. Something about a movie.
Huh? What movie?
I don't know. I'm not nosy, you know. She didn't volunteer the information, and I didn't ask.
All right.
But it starts at 9. Oh, it's not very good.
What? How do you know?
I saw it Thursday on my day off.
But you just said you didn't ask her what movie she was talking about.
Well, there's only one theater in town, and they only have one screen, so I didn't need to ring up Sherlock Holmes to come to this stunning conclusion.
The picture isn't any good, huh?
No. Well, nothing like one of your movies, Mr. Davenport.
Why, thank you, Mrs. Thorne.
This one was much worse.
Maybe you should give up housekeeping and become a critic. You seem to be very opinionated.
Oh, no one would want my opinion of movies. How silly a thought is that?
I wouldn't say that, Mrs. Thorne. Your opinion matters a great deal. I'm sure everyone would want to hear.
Do you think so?
Certainly.
Very well. I'll tell you what I thought of it.
But not right now.
Oh.
Well, it's just that if I'm going to go see it, I would rather the whole picture be a surprise.
It will be.
Thank you, Mrs. Thorne.
Especially when you find out that the college girl cheerleader was the murderer with 5 bodies buried in the end zone of the football field. 1 meatloaf coming right up. Oh, and I will be downtown doing my shopping this afternoon.
Great. So this movie is ruined before the lion even roars at the opening. Meatloaf.
Oh, I can't wait for my new dishwasher to arrive, so I won't have to wash these dishes by hand anymore. There is nothing in the world I can't stand more than washing dishes, except maybe being forced to attend a Yanni concert. One advantage of this soap-filled soiree is the fact that I get to observe the goings-on at the Davenports. Never a dull moment over there. Why, I... those boys doing? Digging? Why, yes, I believe they are. I wonder if they got the urge to start a petunia patch like mine. Well, I had better go over there and tell them that this is the wrong time of the year to plant petunias. I was about to go on my afternoon walk anyway, so what better time to give advice to new gardeners than now? I can tell by the drawn shades in the office that the grumpy old uncle is still working. That old meanie. Oh, not putting in a good word for me to be in his new pirate movie. Everyone knows I am the next Johnny Depp.
How was that?
Cool. You never know there was a hole under that.
Uh-oh. Petunia alert at 12 o'clock.
What? Oh, no. It's the mayor.
Can't be too bad. Look. He's smiling.
Hello there. Hi. Aren't you busy bees?
Whoops.
Oh, what happened?
You fell in a hole.
Help me out. I'm feeling dizzy.
Give me your hand, Mayor.
Yes. Yes.
You all right?
I think so. Where did this hole come from?
Gophers.
Gophers? Owl this big. Gophers?
Yeah, well, it's a family of them. A big family.
And they brought their relatives.
But I saw you three digging. Why were you digging?
Yeah, guys, why were we digging?
To fill in the hole.
What do you mean?
Well, the gophers dug two big holes, here and over there. See? So, we're digging our own hole and using the dirt to fill in the other two made by the gophers.
Pesky gophers.
Why were the holes covered up?
The gophers did that, so no one would see their holes.
Really? I didn't know gophers were that smart. Oh, serves me right for not watching Animal Planet.
Mayor, don't tell Uncle Jerry.
Why not? Oh, shouldn't he know about this damage to his property?
We were trying to fill them in before he saw them, so he wouldn't get upset. He's working on a deadline, and this is the last thing he needs. A gopher invasion.
Well, I suppose that makes sense.
Was there something you want to see us about, Mayor?
If there was, I don't remember it. Well, I'll be heading back.
You should check the grounds around your house, Mayor. Maybe the gophers are expanding their empire.
Sounds like a horror movie, doesn't it? Giant gophers digging holes large enough for a man to fall into. It's rather frightening, isn't it?
I can't even sleep with the fear of it all.
Well, goodbye. And be careful.
We will.
Goodbye.
Bye.
But what are you going to do with the hole you are digging now? Won't that be just as dangerous?
No. You see...
We're going to turn it into a duck pond.
A duck pond?
Yeah, isn't that nice?
How big is that hole going to be?
Not much bigger than this.
It doesn't seem large enough for ducks.
Well, we're putting up a little sign telling them it's just for baby ducks.
Oh, how nice. A duckling pool. Oh, keep up the good work. I'll talk with you later.
A duck pond. Nice going, Richie. You almost sunk us.
Why? What's wrong with the duck pond?
For baby ducks only? What were you thinking?
Well, hey, I didn't hear you coming up with any bright ideas. Besides, he bought it.
Yeah, because he's dazed from the fall. When he gets undazed, we're in trouble.
You worry too much. Come on, we have to keep digging.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it. Look, down here. It's something metal in the ground.
Buried treasure.
Buried treasure? Are you kidding? Here?
Sure. Richie, the shoreline was filled with pirates back in the olden days.
Go on.
No, Preston, it's true. New England has its fair share of pirates in the 18th century.
And you think this metal thing could be a treasure chest?
I bet anything. Look, see how rusted it looks? Give me the shovel, Paul. I bet this is the top of the treasure chest. Come on, give me a hand, we'll dig around it. Jerry and the Pirates will be back after this message.
And now, back to Jerry and the Pirates. How much more do we have to dig? We don't even know how much treasure is down there.
We're almost done.
What's that sound?
Look, the treasure chest is spraying water.
Oh no, I don't think it's a treasure chest.
What is it then?
Ah! I think we struck oil!
Not oil, water!
water! What's water doing down there in that hole? I bet it's the water line for the house. Oh no, it's terrible. And it's all your fault.
My fault?
Well, you're the one who wanted to dig out here.
I did not.
Why, I ought to...
Hey, stop fighting! We got a bigger problem.
Bigger than this?
Yes, look, the water goes right up over the house, and when it comes down again, it's slamming right onto Jerry's window.
No, if he comes out here, we're dead.
He'll send us off to military school. We're too young to be a general.
We gotta act fast.
Okay, this is good. They shoot it out at the bank. Horses waiting at the back. And the sheriff looks out his window and notices the rain. No, rain? Sounds like a heavy rain. Come in. What happened to you?
Us? What do you mean?
You're wearing raincoats.
Because it's raining outside. Boy. Sure is raining.
I thought the weatherman said it was going to be sunny all day.
Oh, those overpaid party spoilers. They're never right about the weather. If they say it's going to be sunny out, you wear your raincoat.
Well, let's lift up the shade here and see how the sky looks.
No!
No?
There's lightning outside!
And thunder! I said thunder!
Hear that? Sure sounds dangerous out there.
You?
Uh-oh.
What's going on here?
Going on? What makes you think something's going on?
Well, let's see. There's water coming out of the ground, spraying all along the side of the house. The ground is a mess with what appears to be digging. You are standing there with a sheet of aluminum making the tent thunder, and we're both getting soaked. I just thought something might be going on.
Oh, well, you see, we're making a movie.
A movie?
Yeah, and I'm in charge of special effects. Like that.
What is the movie you're making, dare I ask?
It's a remake of Singing in the Rain.
You don't say.
Yeah. Isn't that a great idea? Yeah, it's never been remade before.
Something funny is going on here.
It should be. It's a comedy.
No, not your movie. I'm talking about the situation.
I don't see what's very funny about it. We take our movie making very seriously, you know.
Who does?
Me and my brothers. Richie's directing the movie, and Preston is Gene Kelly.
I'm going inside and find out what's going on.
You can't. They're shooting. You're in show business. You know how serious it is when you interrupt a take. Time is money.
Don't be ridiculous.
But Mr. Cranker, you can't go in there.
Listen, you, I wasn't born yesterday, you know. I can see that the water pipe is broken.
Water pipe? Who ever gave you that idea? It's a very expensive special effect.
When you have Old Faithful in your backyard, it's a broken water pipe. I'll get to the bottom of that. Oh!
What? Yeah, he fell in the hole. Well, at least he got to the bottom.
Isn't that odd?
What?
The sky. It's pouring rain right over the house here. But over at Mayor Quigley's house, it's sunny with no rain. What?
The rain cloud must be stopped right over our house. You know, one of those isolated storms you hear about?
But they're usually isolated over a whole town or a county, not a single house.
Consider us lucky.
Man. Why are you two so jumpy?
We're not jumpy.
Not at all.
Where are you going?
To answer the back door.
Why?
Because someone just rang the bell.
What bell? I didn't hear any bell. Preston, did you hear the bell?
I didn't hear any bell.
Well, I heard it.
It must be those Girl Scouts again.
Yeah, it's cookie time.
You two are acting very strange. Now, excuse me.
Now what do we do?
Let's see what Paul's doing. Paul!
What?
What's going on down there?
Cranker, you fell in the hole.
Good. Does the water show any signs of stopping?
No.
Tracy!
Hello, Jerry.
Why'd you use the back door?
I thought I would be different for a change.
Come on in.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. How can that be?
How can what be?
It's sunny outside.
Yeah, so?
And the ground is dry.
And it usually is on sunny days.
Well, that's impossible.
It's 75 degrees and sunny, just like the weatherman said it would be.
Well, what about the thunder and the pouring rain?
What are you talking about? Jerry, I think you've been working too hard. These deadlines of yours are starting to get the better of you.
Sonny. How about some tea?
Oh, that sounds nice.
Good. You make some tea for yourself and pour me a scotch while you're at it. I'll be right back.
We better go help Paul pull Mr. Crank out of the hole.
Yeah.
How much longer will the water keep flying up in the air like that, Paul?
We're right on the Atlantic Ocean. I hope it's not coming from there.
You mean we might drain out the entire ocean? That wouldn't be too good.
Come on. Wait, listen.
It's Jerry.
Come on, we'll go out the other way.
Now, let's see. It's raining. Now, how can it rain on one side of the house and not the other?
I don't know how he drinks this stuff.
Oh, Tracy. Paul, Jerry's going to find out about the hello, Tracy.
Hello, Richie. Preston.
Fancy meeting you here.
Why are you two wearing your rain slickers?
Well...
We decided to become fishermen.
What?
Fishermen. Living in a coastal town like this, it just sort of... calls to you.
Yeah, called to us. All the fish called.
Paul, you're soaked. How did you get so wet?
Well, I'm going to be a fisherman too, but I decided to try the hands-on approach. You know, I see a fish and I just dive into the ocean after it.
Something's funny around here.
Tracy, you got to see this. It's raining on the other side of the house.
What?
You heard me. Paul, you're soaking wet. How did that happen?
I just came from the other side of the house where it... it's raining.
Pouring.
Here's your drink.
Thank you. Didn't you make tea?
I tried, but there isn't any water.
Huh? What do you mean there isn't any water? Where's Mrs. Thorne?
This is her shopping day. She's downtown.
I bet she's at the bottom of all this.
Something's not right.
Oh, no. It's a swamp creature.
It's not a swamp creature. It's Cranker. Cranker, here, sit down.
What happened to him? He's completely covered in mud.
Ooh.
You're right. Here, don't sit in my good chair. Take the bar stool.
Where am I? Is this Hooligan Hill?
Hesperus Hill. Cranker, what happened?
Am I interrupting a take?
Huh? What are you talking about?
Your remake of Singing in the Rain.
Singing in the Rain? What's he talking about?
I don't know. I think he's delirious.
I am not. I fell in a hole.
Look, it's Mayor Quigley.
Oh, Mr. Davenport, it's horrible, horrible.
Mayor, what's wrong?
Well, haven't you heard?
Heard what?
The town's being invaded by giant gophers.
Giant gophers?
I saw one myself, a huge, ugly thing with brown fur and big buck teeth.
No, that was just Paul pulling you out of the hole.
What does that mean?
Oh, nothing.
Who can that be? Hello? Yes, this is Mr. Davenport. What? Uh-huh. That's right. No water pressure.
Uh-oh.
Are you kidding? A water line? And it's staying on my property?
Hey, guys. Does the French Foreign Legion take drummer boys?
I don't know. And besides, you can't play the drums.
I'll learn.
Who was that?
That was the fire chief.
Oh, what did he want? We're not on fire.
He said that we have a water main break, and everyone in this part of town does not have water.
Good time to switch to orange juice.
Plenty of vitamin C.
Start explaining.
Well, you see, it all started when this huge, big, giant, ugly gopher came out of the ground.
With buck teeth?
Yeah, that's the one. He came up through the ground, and then all of a sudden... there was another.
See, it was this big...
Yeah, and they were eating.
I told you I saw a gopher. Oh, it was monstrous. I don't know what I'm going to do.
This has been Jerry and the Pirates, starring Jerry Robbins, co-starring Rob Cattell as Paul, Connor Doherty as Richie, and Ricky McDonald as Preston. With Diane Capon as Tracy, Lincoln Clark as Mr. Cranker, Marcia Friedman as Mrs. Thorne, and J.T. Turner as Mayor Quigley. Tonight's show was written and directed by Jerry Robbins. It was produced by Byron Lee, and the music was by Jeffrey Gade. Mark Vanderberg was the executive producer. This is Chris Snyder speaking. Jerry and the Pirates. Jerry and the Pirates, starring Jerry Robbins. Co-starring Rob Cattell, Connor Doherty, and Ricky McDonald. It's a beautiful fall day in the coastal town of Marblehead, Massachusetts. People are out enjoying the autumn colors, kids are in the fields pumpkin picking, apple orchards are thriving, and the bright orange harvest moon will shortly reign over the evening sky. But high up on Hesperus Hill, the season is not being celebrated. Well, not by Jerry Davenport. Jerry has shut himself into his office as he works feverishly on his newest screenplay. Yes, while others are outside enjoying the New England fall, Jerry is lost in the acrid dust of old Arizona as he types away. With that, we begin another exciting adventure with Jerry and the Pirates.
Arizona Daniels walks into the Crimson Palace. He slowly makes his way to the bar and orders a whiskey. Arizona, what y'all have around here for drinking whiskey, bartender? Drinking whiskey. Then Coyote Hall and Six Gun Hayes appear from behind a closed curtain, pistols in hand. They fire three shots, and Arizona turns to face them. I didn't say they shoot again.
Jerry, are you in there? I can hear the keyboard.
Yes, Preston, come on in.
Hi.
Hello.
I know you're busy.
Never too busy for you, Preston.
Really?
Of course.
Can you take me pumpkin picking?
I'm too busy.
But next week is Halloween, and I don't have a jack-o'-lantern yet.
Oh. Well, maybe Mrs. Thorne can take you.
She said it's not in her job description.
Paul?
He's writing a history report.
Really?
No, he's really just doodling. But he says he's thinking about the history report.
That sounds more like it. I thought something might have come over him or something.
Can we go?
Well, I'd like to take you, Preston, but I've got to turn this script in a couple of days.
I'm only young once, you know. Very soon I'll be leaving home for college, and then I'll get married and grow old and die. And you'll regret not taking me.
Where'd you hear that?
It was on one of Mrs. Thorne's soap operas. I adapted it for my situation here.
Tell you what.
What?
If I can get these next few pages done, we'll go.
Really?
Of course.
Yes, I'll help you.
What?
Let's see what we've got here. Arizona, what y'all have around here for drinking whiskey. Bartender drinking whiskey. That's good. That's a good start.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Then Coyote Hall and Six Gun Hayes appear from behind the closed curtain, pistols in hand. They fire three shots. Why do they do that? That's not fair.
They're the bad guys.
Oh, Arizona Daniels is the good guy?
One of the good guys.
Who's the other good guy?
A tough hombre named Colorado Richardson.
Where's he?
On the other side of town.
Okay, I can look at this.
What?
So, Arizona is going to draw on Coyote Hall and Six Gun Hayes, right?
I think so.
Yeah, he has to draw on them. And then everyone is so scared in the room that no one fires their guns. It's an eye-to-eye standoff between Six Gun Hayes, Coyote Hall, and Arizona Daniels. And already Arizona is outnumbered because he only has two eyes and the bad guy's got four. That's the trouble with the eye-to-eye routine.
I can imagine.
Who talks first?
Who do you think?
I think the bad guys have to talk first.
Why?
Because you don't want the good guy to tip his hand. He has to be cold and mysterious.
You think so, huh?
Yep. No, no, don't say that.
What's wrong with that?
I've heard that line in 100 westerns. Have him say, "What a look of surprise on your face, Arizona." Now, we can't forget about the other good guys. See, now that you have to stand off and no one knows who's going to shoot, we have to go to the other side of the town, to the other good guy. What's his name?
Colorado Richardson.
Yeah. So, cut to the other side of town. The camera moves down the center of the western street under that hot Arizona sun.